Listen, the Lord is worthy of praise, isn't he? And we're singing, holy, holy, holy. I just was thinking of scripture in my mind of how in heaven right now, the angels are around the throne of God and they're crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And that holy God, who's majestic above all things, has created us and he's put his breath in our very lungs. And our created purpose is to bring him glory and honor and majesty. And we should do that now and forevermore. So, man, it's good to do that, right? That's what we were created to do. And one of the things we're going to be doing in heaven so much is just being enthralled with, amazed by the glory of God when we're there in person. I can't wait for that day when the veil is gone. Anybody ready for that veil to... going to be torn away, and we get to see him fully, not just in part. And that day's coming, Linda, right? Let's go. Praise the Lord. And yeah, well, I might be right behind you. I don't know. So one of us are going to get there first. I don't know who it's going to be. You want to be first? Okay. we won't fight over this. Yeah, one day we're all going to be there. It's going to be great. Man. Hey, this is our last Sunday of a discipleship series we've been walking through this whole spring, and it's called The Journey, A Life of Following Jesus. We've been walking through this to understand a little bit better what it means to walk with him and to pursue this God who has created us. And listen, there's no better place for us to be in our life than when we're trusting Jesus, believing on Jesus, obeying Jesus, following Jesus. I know for me that the anchor point of my life is to really just know he's good, he's faithful, I can trust him with all things, and when I'm in the center of his will, there's nothing better than that. Right? We're finally at peace with the one who made us, and not only that, but there's this joy, there's this fulfillment in our lives when we're walking with Jesus, surrendered to him and walking in his ways. And so as we've been walking through this here this spring, it's been a joy to just see all the different ways that he calls us to follow him, just kind of fitting together. So what are we going to do today as we conclude? Well, we're going to do a little bit of look back. We're going to review some things. But we're going to do some new things, because today we're going to try out something we've never tried out before. We're going to try out a discipleship assessment. Right here, you're going to be the first guinea pigs to ever get to interact with this. So heads up, that's coming. And then we're going to dream a little bit about the future. Okay, so that's our plan for this morning. Right now, take your Bibles and open up to Matthew chapter 4. You might say, well, I think we started with this at the beginning of the series. And you'd be correct. It's exactly where we started, was Matthew chapter 4, looking at Jesus calling his first disciples. But what we're doing is we're going back to the foundation as we conclude here. Because Jesus is in the business of calling everyday Joes and Janes like us and saying, hey, come follow me. So here we go, follow along in verses 18 to 22. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Those are transformational words. We're going to look at those here together. The call of Jesus to just regular average people like us. And at once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets, and Jesus called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. There was something about Jesus that they knew. In fact, this wasn't their first hearing of who he was. If we look in the book of John, chapter 1, they had already heard something about him. They'd already gotten to see him once. But here's this Jesus that they just knew there's something about him. If they could have known everything about him, they would have known he's their creator. They would have known how much he saw every moment of their life and loved them in spite of their weaknesses, their failures, but also for the beautiful things that God had created about them. And he could see past all of that. And he could see into their hearts, and he said, I want you to follow me. What an incredible invitation. Do you know that Jesus is still in the business of doing that in our day? You, as you sit here in this room, you could think back some point in your life, you heard the voice of Jesus, come, follow me. Maybe you didn't hear it audibly. Maybe you didn't get what the disciples got as Jesus literally was walking to them in a bodily form. Maybe you heard it in the Holy Spirit just speaking this to your heart. Maybe it was while you were reading Scripture. Maybe you're sitting here today and you've never heard that invitation. I want to tell you that invitation stands because it's for every person, all who would believe, all who would hear the words of the Lord today even. He's saying, come, follow me. There's a moment in each of our lives where we have to say, Lord, I receive you. I hear your call. I believe that you are the Savior. You're the one that I should devote my life to. You're the one who, though you're holy, you have died for me. And I believe that you paid for my sins, and I ask you to wash those sins away. And I want to follow you. I want to be with you. That's the most essential turning point for every person on this planet because it determines not only their present, but it determines their whole future. And if you have that relationship with Jesus, praise God, because your present is different and your future on earth and especially in heaven will be different because of receiving Jesus as Savior and saying, I will follow you. Is there a yes in your heart today? To say, Jesus, I will follow you. I receive you. I believe you are the Savior of this world. And I give my life to you. If that yes is there, that's the place we need to be. And so I just want to remind you of that this morning, of Jesus' call to each one of us. It starts with this personal, ongoing relationship that we have with Jesus. It's not about a one-time prayer that we forget about and go, well, I got my fire insurance. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm not going to go to hell. Woohoo! And you just move on forward. No, the invitation is to a personal relationship with Jesus that will transform everything about us. And if that scares you, good. It should, because we shouldn't be in the comfort of our old ways and the old things we trusted in. It's going to mean that we're going to change. It's going to be different. We're going to become more like Jesus. And that's what he's inviting us into. It's not about wearing the t-shirt. It's not about just wearing a cross around your neck. It's not just that you showed up at church today, which I'm glad you came here on Memorial Day weekend. Thank you for that. It's walking with the Lord the rest of our life. Let's look a little more specifically at this call. Several weeks ago, this is probably now 10 weeks ago, we talked about this passage, and I put three things on the screen, and I'll put those on again here. Jesus' invitation to his disciples had three aspects to it. Follow me. It's an invitation into that personal relationship with Jesus. First and foremost, what we're to be about as believers is it's about Jesus. Our life is about him. Our priorities are ordered by him. It's about hearing his voice. It's about being with him, as we just talked about this morning already in our worship time. It's eyes on Jesus. But it builds on from there. Follow me with others, because this call was plural. Hey, follow me, and I will make you all. You, Peter and Andrew. You, James and John. I will make you together followers of me. And there's this call into a family. Christian life is not supposed to be lived alone. We're not lone rangers. We don't do this by ourselves. In fact, if you look at our military, the army used to have a statement. They said, you can be an army of one. Do you remember that statement? And I thought, that's false advertising. If you've ever been in the military, you know that immediately they break you down to have to trust your brothers and your sisters in combat and trust each other. You're into a unit in the same way. We are called into a family. when we become believers in Christ. And then thirdly, there's this aspect of following him on mission. What did he say to him? Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You're no longer going to fish for fish. I'm going to give you an eternal purpose. You're going to fish for people. It's going to be a focus on what really matters for all of eternity. And what is the most eternal thing about us? Our soul. These bodies are going to wear out. We're going to get a new one one day, a 2.0. I can't wait for that. I'm getting older. Some of you are older than me, and you're going, it's just going to get worse, Steve. Some of you are younger, you're going, what's the problem? But I saw you on crutches today coming in. Are you okay? Yeah? You healing up from something? All right. So everybody's got their things, but the thing that's going to last is our soul. And he is interested in having more and more souls in relationship with him, to know their creator, to be reconciled with God. And he wants us to know him and us to know that we're fully known by him and walk in his grace and his power and his peace the rest of our life. He wants to call more and more of us. And so there's this mission that we're called onto. Hey, you, be my disciple, and now make disciples. Now, you might notice as you walk in on a Sunday morning, if you walk in the front doors, on the right-hand side, there's a gigantic blue graphic. Anyone know what that is? What is it, just in general, what's that called? It's our what? Mission statement. It's also in your bulletin. And you open up the jacket, it's right there on top. That mission statement isn't just there by accident. It's not just something to have on the wall. It really orders what we're to be about as a church, because this is what Jesus told us to be about. You might notice that mission statement mirrors this very, very closely. What does it say? Our mission is to help people grow a transforming relationship with Jesus, to connect in community with one another, and to what? Share Jesus with all the world. Doesn't that sound like follow me, follow with others, and follow me on mission? It mirrors it absolutely closely. And I love that. We're rooted in Scripture. This is what we're to be about. You might also notice, if you've been part of this discipleship series, that our discipleship definition is layered right with that. We don't want to have a separate thing for you to have to memorize. We don't want it to be too complicated. Following Jesus is simple, but it'll take our whole life to figure it out, to learn it, to walk in it, right? So here's what our mission, or our discipleship definition is, and I want you to read this with me. We've been doing this every week. Ready? Discipleship is a lifelong, everyday journey of growing with Jesus, connecting with Jesus' family, and sharing Jesus with all the world. You want to know what you need to be doing in this walk with Jesus? This is it. If he's called you into this, you continue to grow with him for your whole life, every day. You continue to connect with his family lifelong, every day, and to share Jesus with all the world in everywhere that you go. This is what our call is. Now, in this, we've been giving you a picture every week. Because the journey isn't a step one, step two, step three. First, you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Then you start connecting with his family and his people. Then you get to the part of sharing Jesus with all the world. No, it's something we do all of these at the same time. And how can we picture that? A hike doesn't quite get it, because that's like mile marker one, then mile marker two. We pictured it that the journey is like a tree that grows in the ground. Now, I have, or I'm supposed to have here, oh no, it fell off my table. Somewhere down here is a little seed. I'm just going to pretend I have the seed in my hand, all right? Oh wait, hold on. Got it. I put it on the other table. I don't know if you can see that. It's tiny. This little seed has in it all the DNA that's needed to grow a huge, healthy, strong tree. Right now, it's so small, I almost couldn't see it. You put this in the ground. First of all, the fruit of that tree that gave this has to die. There's a giving up of yourself in order for a seed to be able to grow. That seed gets planted in the ground, and you give it some water, you give it some sunshine, you give it some time, and it begins to sprout. And in the first couple of weeks, it can be about that tall and have a tiny one little root. That's what you see on the left side of the screen. Then it begins to grow up a little taller, and in the first year, it can get about this tall, and it's very skinny. But then it begins to add years to its growth, and it gets taller, and it gets wider, and the roots get deeper. This is the picture of a disciple. All the DNA is there at the very beginning when we first received Jesus. But then we begin to put our roots down, and we get to grow stronger and grow stronger, and we begin to bear fruit in our lives as well. It started small, and it became big. And the way that we've been picturing that too, then, is to, if you think of a strong, mature tree, is if you were to cut that tree down, you'll see something amazing. So guys, come on out here. We had this on the first week, second week of this series, but you can see that it split. And because it split, and because it got real dry, it's doing a flip there, or what's going on? Is this the right one? Okay. All right. We didn't want to keep it around you because it could break, and then it would be a safety hazard. So guys, hopefully it doesn't break and drop on your feet. But this is a very large, mature pine tree that's now been cut down. And if you look at this thing, you can see the story of the tree. It started right here in the middle. Actually, can we go up the steps? Are you guys willing to do that? Okay. So the people in the back can see it. It started right here. Tiny. And enough years went by, and it grew, and it grew. And every ring around here, it's not in perfect round shape. It's kind of some oblong directions that it grew. Even still, the outer rings are not perfect. But through every season, every storm, every drought, it continued to grow bit by bit, day by day, a little stronger, a little stronger. This is the story of my life as a disciple. It's the story of your life as a disciple. You might be a young little sapling, or you might be a strong, mature, solid tree. And one day the tree blows over, and that's when we go to heaven, right? That's kind of how the model continues. But this is our story. All right, guys, I won't make you keep holding it longer. You can go. I
appreciate that.
Can you stay the whole time while I preach? No, okay, okay. So, we've put that concept onto a diagram. We've been showing this to you every week. Let's go ahead forward here. Growing, connecting, and sharing is like this. That's like a tree right there, and we're growing out in all those directions at the same time, growing, connecting, and sharing. Starts in the middle with that seed, that sapling, and we grow into a strong, solid disciple. And with that, too, we've been adding definition each week, because you might ask, well, what does it mean to grow with Jesus? Well, we added three things in that green section. The first one, go back, is wholehearted worship. That we love the Lord our God with all our heart and devote our life to Him. Secondly, inside of that growing was abiding in Christ, that we've got to stay connected day by day, moment by moment with Jesus. And then thirdly, living in freedom. The Holy Spirit begins to then transform us and give us the power to live in the way that He has always called us to do. Then into the connecting section, what does it mean to connect with His family? Well, authentic community, to have people that know us, that are walking life with us, maybe three or four or five people, maybe just two, still, people that we can grow together with. Going forward from there, healthy relationships. That's going to change the way that we all interact with each other and out into the world. We're not going to hold grudges. We're going to forgive. We're going to be patient. We're going to be honest and truthful. We're going to be encouraging. All the one another's that Scripture tells us to do. Then it says serving the body, that we have each been given spiritual gifts to build up the body of Christ. So whatever gifts you have, use them. Then into the sharing part, kingdom generosity. Everything I have is God's. I'm going to invest it into the things that matter for His eternal kingdom. My time, my talents, my treasure. Next is love your neighbor, that we've been told to love the people around us as ourselves. And then lastly, a great commission mindset, that it's about this idea of making disciples of all nations. Until the whole world hears, there's a mission for us to be on together. These nine areas are ways that we're plotting this out as a church and saying, we've got to move toward all these. We got to help equip and build up people in all these areas, and we got to live into this. And we're calling you to live into these nine areas because this is what a healthy disciple looks like, and this is what a healthy church looks like. And if we could have that roadmap for our lives, what a help to be able to say, I'm going to aim for these things. And almost everything you can think of in the Bible will fit under one of these categories for us to be living out. The question is, how far have you grown as a disciple? Are you a sapling this big around? Are you this big around? Do you have little areas that you're like, well, that's kind of odd shaped if I were to show how I'm growing these areas? And so we thought it would be really helpful if we made an assessment tool that could help plot that out for you, and we're going to test it out this morning. And you might be like, wow, okay, that's new. They've never done this before. And you'd be like, and we'd say, yes, you're right. We've never created an assessment like this. It was made in-house, and we've never done something like this on a Sunday morning. Well, guess what? You're here, and we're glad you're here, and we want you to participate with us if you're able. And so I'm going to invite Pastor Dwayne up here to come to the front with me. And Pastor Dwayne has been really building this thing. He's been the mastermind behind it. The mastermind. And he's an engineer by trade, and it's been so helpful to have him put all that toward this idea of discipleship. You might see people moving. They're going to hand some stuff out here in a moment, but you guys just hold tight back there because we're going to do a couple minutes of instructions. Pastor Dwayne, thank you for your help in building out this model and especially this assessment. We really appreciate that investment here, and we pray it's going to bear a lot of fruit for years to come. Why did we create this assessment? What's the heart behind it?
When we started this process of trying to define discipleship and what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus, it was very near the beginning of that. Those words, lifelong everyday journey, came forth. Lifelong everyday journey. And then we also talked about the fact that we broke that into those nine characteristics, those key characteristics that Pastor Steve just went through. We thought, wouldn't it be great if we could find a way to actually figure out where we are along this journey? That we could actually take a snapshot of our life along this journey that we're on. We're all on a journey. We're all on a journey at different places and different we're at different spots along that journey. But wouldn't it be great if we could actually take time to actually take a snapshot and say, where am I now? And in this particular moment, we say, I can look back, I can reflect, I can thank God for what he's done in my life so far, and I can also take this time to look forward and say, God, where do you want me to move next? Like on any journey, we do that. So we figured that to create an assessment would be a way to do that, to be able to bring some reality to that for us.
Yeah. So now everyone's interest is piqued. They're like, what is going on here? So can you just give us the overall picture. What are we about to take here?
All right, so what we've developed is an online assessment. So it's going to have 45 questions that were developed by a team that started them, and then they went through our staff and through our elders and then through our governing board to review all these things. And you will have an opportunity to respond to each of those 45 questions. We're using a number system, numbers 1 through 5. So number 1 would be like, when you read the statement, you'd be like, yeah, that doesn't really sound like me, or that doesn't really relate to me. It's not characteristic of where I am right now in my life. Number 5 would be like, oh man, that is me in a nutshell right there. I mean, that's perfect. And somewhere in the middle of that would be, you know, like, that's like me like 25% of the time would be a number 2, or me 50% of the time would be number 3. And you would be able to pick a number quickly and honestly, pick a number where that particular statement reflects in your life. And then when we're done with that, what's going to happen? You get through all 45 questions. It's going to give you a summary. That summary is going to list a single digit, a single number for each of those 9 characteristics. And then once we have those characteristics, you'll get a piece of paper, it'll look like this, and you'll have a graph that you can actually plot those numbers onto. Doesn't this sound like great engineering stuff? I love this. You'll be able to plot a dot for each of the 9, and then you'll be able to connect the dots like we did in kindergarten, and just connect your dots and make a graph, and be able to see what was more important than anything, not the numbers, but the shape, to see the shape of the ring of the cross-section of your life, that snapshot of today.
All right. Now, you might be sitting here going, this is my first Sunday here. If this is all just a little overwhelming to you, let me just say, you do not have to take this right now. It's going to take us about 10 minutes, 12 minutes to fill it out. You do not have to do it. You also might be thinking, I'm not techie, so using something online, I don't have a device with me today, I don't know how to use it. Well, maybe a neighbor can help you. We have some folks that are going to be walking around. They're going to be able to help you as well to get to the right spot to take it. Or they even have some extra devices. If you don't have one that can connect to the internet today, but you want to take this, they will provide one for you. And so you can take that. They're very simple questions on here. You just tap one of the numbers, 1 through 5, that you would rate yourself, and you work your way through it. And at the end, you push submit, and then it generates these numbers for you. Now, when those numbers pop up, don't close out your browser. You need those numbers to be able to transfer it to the piece of paper that you're about to receive here in a moment. But hear us. We hope that you are interested enough that you will take it. And we would love to help you to be able to take it. A couple other things. It will not ask you for your name or your email address or your phone number, any of those things. It is totally anonymous. When you push submit, numbers will be sent to the church, but we won't know who filled it out, okay? So it's totally anonymous. Don't worry about that. No one's going to contact you or anything like that. There are two biographical questions just about your age category and your gender so that we can just see what trends there are in the church, but we won't know who filled them out, okay? So that's another thing. Try to be quick but honest, okay? Because we got to get through this. But just give your first gut answer of how you would rate yourself. And also, try not to just give straight threes down the middle, because that's not a true assessment if you do that. The purpose is to help you to see how you've grown as a disciple and then where you might still need to grow as a disciple. So, all right, so we're going to go ahead right now and have our volunteers come bring these papers down each aisle. They're going to be handing these to you. This is what will get you started on your assessment. On this sheet of paper, guys, come up, move quick. We don't want to get going on this. They already have stacks of paper. They're just going to go boom, boom, boom. Hand them right down, and you're going to pass them down your rows. And so if you need the Wi-Fi in the room, there's the network and password. If you want to go cellular, that's fine as well. There's a QR code at the bottom of your page that you can hover your camera over and click the link that pops up. Or you can go to our homepage, especially if you're joining us online. You can go to our homepage, and at the very bottom of the homepage, under resources, on the bottom banner, it says discipleship assessment. You can click that. It'll take you to the exact same link. So if QR codes aren't your thing, that's fine. Go to the bottom of that webpage. And these volunteers will help you if none of that makes sense. All right? Once they pass this out, they're going to turn around. They're going to help whoever needs help with that. So the QR code, or go to the website. If you're joining us online, you can also print out this paper in that same spot. There's a link to this PDF. You can print it out at home. And we're just going to go ahead and put some music on here in the background, and we'd love for you just to take the next 8 or 10 minutes and fill this out. If you need help at all, put a hand up, and one of these folks will come around and help you. If you're still taking your inventory, if you're still filling out the questions, try to move through them as quick as you can here. Get toward the end. A lot of you have already gotten to the point where you have your numbers. We're seeing people plotting them on the little chart. That's a good thing. You do not have to do show and tell. You don't have to pass it around, show a bunch of people. But you hopefully are getting to that point where you're putting it on your paper. And this is what's going to give you your result. In about a minute or two, we're going to go ahead and move forward. Even if you're still finishing up, that's okay. But we need to make sure that we come to a conclusion here today to let you be able to go. Another minute, and then we will give some thoughts as we conclude here.
Look at the flowers in all of their beauty. I don't have to wonder, you know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all when you're faithful to supply everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. And every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it, my Father has it. Look at the sparrow.
Okay. We're going to go ahead and move forward here. Even if you're still working on yours, that's okay. But now a couple of thoughts. How does this help you personally? And then what does this mean for our church? How does this help you personally? Well, we hope that for you, this is good information. It's good to see. Like when you go to a doctor and get a checkup, it's like, well, I know where I'm healthy and I know where I'm sick. Or I know where I've grown and I know where I need to keep growing. And it's a good thing to get that kind of information. Do not feel shame about any low numbers. A lot of people's graphs are going to be a little bit like choppy like that. It's not going to look as round as a tree. That's okay. My graph is like a little bit oblong in some ways, and that's okay too. And we just get to see where we can begin to grow. I would encourage you that if you're able to, if you're part of a small group, and you guys would be willing in your small group to say, hey, let's everybody share our numbers sometime this week or next week, or at home as a family, then use that as an opportunity to talk and build community together and talk about ways that you can connect. Another thing we want to offer to you is if you want any personal coaching with this, to have someone to just talk about your graph with, we would be glad to have a conversation with you. If you want to set up an appointment, come in, or even after church today, that we'd be available here at the front, that you could talk to one of us and just say, help me understand what this means and what can I do to grow in these areas. And we're going to work as a church then with all this feedback to say, what are some areas we might need? If we see trends, we might say, we got to help our church grow in these areas. We got to do more equipping in these kinds of areas. And so we're going to take that and learn from it ourselves as a church. We're also going to take this information and be able to talk to our kids' ministry and our youth ministry, as you saw the biographical information, and men's ministry, women's ministry, and help see how can we be equipping our body to grow in all of these different areas. And that's going to be very helpful to us to see what are the roadmaps of how we need to help pour into our church family so everybody can be growing in these areas. And I want to ask, would you like to see the compilation of everybody's scores averaged together and put on a map? Are you curious? I haven't even seen this. This is literally from current data right now. Pastor Duane has been able to take those numbers and plug them into a graph that he's going to put on the screen. So, Duane, why don't you walk us through that?
You want to see it now? Here it comes. Here's your graph. Isn't it awesome?
Drum roll, please.
Ta-da!
Okay.
There it is. So you can't probably read the words there, but you have a picture of that graph in your hand, so you know what it looks like. So I'm just looking just myself here, trying to say, what do I perceive from this? This is something that as church leadership, we're going to be able to take a look at, and we're also going to be able to narrow this down by age group and by gender and so forth to try to help us see how that graph shifts. But you can see your own graph, and you take a look at this one. Just some quick observations from what I see here is that, first of all, as a church, we're pretty well-rounded. We're hitting these nine things. You guys are feeling like we're hitting these nine things, like pretty well all along there. Of course, they're not going to be fives. They're not all going to be at the very end, because if they were, we'd all be in heaven. So that's what the graph would look like when we get there. But for right now, this is our graph. You can see some lower, just relative to the other ones. It looks like wholehearted worship is really high. Looks like healthy relationships is high. So is freedom, living in freedom. A little bit lower on some of the other ones there, the authentic community and the loving your neighbor and generosity and so forth. So this gives you an idea of how that shapes out there. And I don't know how that compares to you, but I think this is really cool. One thing we did find in a board when we did this was that one person made a comment about this. They said, well, I'm really low in this one section, but as a board, we were really similar to this. And what they're saying is that we make up for each other, which is kind of cool as a family, that we cover all these areas, which is really neat.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, isn't this neat to be able to see for yourself and for the church? And we want to continue. This is not the end in any way for how this is going to go into the DNA and the fabric of our church. We're just grateful that you stepped into this with us today. Dwayne, I'd like to land the plane. So I'm going to go with this. I have a basket of apples up here. You guys like apples? I love apples. Applesauce. No, I'm not. Later, you can come and get one. They're washed. You can eat one, for real. I love good apples. Apple pie. Here in Pennsylvania, we have orchards everywhere. I love our apple orchards. Love to pick them in the fall. But I want to ask you, did you know that good, sweet apples are not native to Pennsylvania? The only thing that we have are crab apples that are native. In fact, all across the United States, the only apples that are native are crab apples. In fact, anywhere in the world, there are no good sweet apples that are native to any areas except for one place in the entire world. You'll never guess where it is, but all good sweet apples, all the varieties of them, can trace their genetic code back to one area of the world, and it's in the country of Kazakhstan. You would never guess it. There is a place in Kazakhstan between a lake and some mountains. There's some foothills there that have orchards that are truly the only place where sweet, good eating apples came from. And go forward here and just look. It's a country between Russia and China, and this is the landscape. And these are the natural orchards of Kazakhstan. You can still go there and eat from the first orchards of good, sweet apples. And how did this get all around the world? Well, listen, about a thousand years before Christ, these apples were getting passed around on trading routes and taken to other countries and other kingdoms. And the king said, oh, those are great apples, and I'd like to have those. And they began to take the seeds from these apples, and they began to plant orchards along these trade routes. And they went to the east, and they went to the west. And they made their way through Middle East and through parts of Asia, and then all the way up into Europe. And in the 1600s and 1700s, when the first settlers were coming across to the new land in North America now, they brought seeds of good apple orchards. And you might remember Johnny Appleseed and others who brought seeds with them, and they planted orchards. And they thought every farm should have a couple of good apple trees so that they could enjoy apples. And so they spread all over the place. Let me tell you, inside of every apple is anywhere from 5 to 10 seeds. Every apple has the opportunity to plant 5 to 10 more trees with the seeds that are inside of them. But one tree might have upwards of 2,000 apples. And think of the potential one tree has to plant that many more trees and that many more orchards out of its fruit. Why does it matter that we become healthy and strong disciples? Here's why. Because inside of every one of us is the potential to plant an entirely new orchard out of the fruit that God bears in our lives. As we're healthy, as we're strong, as we begin to bear the fruit that God has for us in our life, there's more people to pour into, more disciples that could be raised up. And you might see where I'm going with this. Because the gospel started in one place in the world, along the shores of the Sea of Galilee with those first disciples. And they grew up to be healthy and strong. And they out of them were planted so many more trees, disciples who were raised up to become healthy and strong. And over all the years and through all the geography, including in the 1600s and 1700s, as the gospel first got to North America, now here we sit because others planted seeds, and they planted seeds, and they planted seeds. Disciples made disciples who made disciples, and we're here because of it. Who planted the seeds in your life? Someone did. And someone helped them grow strong and helped your roots go down deep and helped cross-pollinate with you. And an orchard is never one tree. It'll never make it. It needs more trees to cross-pollinate with. And bees help that happen. And the roots go down together and they interlock and they become a strong orchard together, which is what we are. And I want to ask you, where are you planting your seeds in other people's lives? If you're a parent and a grandparent, that's one easy answer. I'm planting them in the next generation. That's a kingdom purpose. But you might be serving in kids' ministry, and as you're growing as a disciple, you're bearing fruit that you're planting in another child's life. If you're a youth ministry worker, if you're a small group leader, if you serve at New Hope Mission here in town, you're planting seeds all through town. If you go on a missions trip, you're planting seeds everywhere you go. As we love our neighbors, we're planting seeds into other people's lives. And inside of you is the potential for a whole new orchard that God wants to plant. This is why it matters. Disciples make disciples who make disciples. We are on a lifelong, everyday journey of growing with Jesus, connecting with his family, and sharing Jesus with all the world. And it started with Christ and is carried through all the generations, and here we sit, and now the baton is in our hands. Will we grow strong as disciples and plant seeds everywhere we go? The journey continues. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for this incredible gift of the gospel that changes lives, that you've invited us to follow you, to be with you. Lord, I pray that that would be renewed today in our hearts, that we want to follow you with all we've got, wholeheartedly. And Lord, that you would help us grow with you, abide with you, and grow in our freedom so that we could connect with also more people and grow together and serve others, and then that we could share you with all this world, the generosity of what you've given us, and loving our neighbors, and focusing on making disciples. And Lord, we pray that in this world there would be more and more disciples, so that one day the glory of God would be seen and known and proclaimed all over this planet, and that one day in heaven it will be crowded with disciples. To that end, we pray that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you would like any conversation about your personal graph from today, we'd welcome you to come here to the front. But God bless you. Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. You're dismissed.